All right. Well, thank you, ladies. So, Pastor's right. This is about a quarter, I don't know, maybe a little bit more, but it's not close to being what it's going to be if you were to come tomorrow and see tomorrow. Just ran out of hours this afternoon, but there's more hours after the service is over. So definitely Nicole and I and some of the teens are going to be here. And if anybody else, like Pastor said, wanted to stay, some of the stuff that we were doing this afternoon was a little more time consuming, but it had to do with what you guys would see when you came in. So we did a lot of that now, and a lot of the stuff in the back. So I promise you, for example, if you go to the back tomorrow, it's really going to seem to you like you're under the water in a lot of different areas. But that's without me bringing real water. I know Pastor joked about that a couple weeks ago. But I wanted to take a few seconds. I actually shortened my message several times. I just kept editing it and editing it, knowing that people were probably going to have a long afternoon and out with their family and their fathers and things like that. But I want to take a few seconds and talk, because I know there's a lot of people who maybe haven't been or seen a VBS here, and there's also some new things I wanted you to be able to say. So when you are inviting out, maybe you guys can throw in these couple of wrinkles for the kids when you're inviting them out. So like we've been saying, every day for Vacation Bible School, we have we're going to start at 6. Usually kids show up here, there are kids that show up here like at 5:15, and they're ready to go. So what we saw a couple years ago was usually what we did traditionally here for a long time was they would memorize their verses before they came inside, before I brought them inside to start the whole program. The problem is when I tell kids who don't come to our church, for example, that VBS starts at 6, they're here at 6. Well, those kids got no verse memorization time. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, what? I mean, we're here at VBS. I'm trying to tell them that these verses are important, but we don't give them any time to memorize them here. Work with them here, and that's valuable time that the teenagers and the adults can spend with the kids, talking to them one-on-one, engaging with them. So when they come in, I bring them in at about 6 o'clock. We do some songs. Pastor leads a song that he usually makes up that goes something along with the verse. We say pledges. They have a puppet skit for that you'll see the puppet stage over here, and the puppets have their own skit that goes along with the theme for the day. So everything is a theme for each day, and it always ends with Salvation Day 4. So the puppets give the first theme type thing for the day. Then I teach a message to the kids that has to do with the theme for the day, and then I tell them a couple of key things that they have to know as they go through, like don't forget about this and this will be important. You may need to know this later and things like that. And then I dismiss them for rotation. Usually that takes about a half an hour. So when they get dismissed, they immediately go to verse time now. So it used to be that they would go to their rotation. They go to, you know, teaching time or craft time or whatever. Now every single kid, no matter if they're a tiny or a big, they go to verse memorization time. And they get a full rotation. So all of our rotations are 17 minutes long. They get a full rotation of just memorizing verses, and it's been outstanding since we started that. So they have their own book that they have to bring every day. They get points for bringing their book back, there's key verses that they have to say each day, and it's not coincidental that those key verses are the Romans Road, and they have to memorize those, and they have to say those verses each day before they can say any other verses in their book. They have to say those specific verses. And it's amazing how quickly they'll memorize some verses when they have to say one to say the rest. But those ones are very, very, very important to us, obviously, as we go through. So then we start rotating after verse time. Each group starts rotating through, and that's when it gets exciting. So that's when you start seeing groups crossing and people going outside and people coming back in and different people going to different places. So we have four groups. We have a group that we call the Tinies. Those are the teeny tiny little kids. Those are like 3, 4 year olds. Then we have littles. Those are like, you know, 5 and 6 year olds. Then we have the middles. Those are the kids right above that, but they're not big kids yet. They're not the kids who are like about to come to the youth group, like the 5th and 6th graders. So that's like, so the middles are like third and fourth graders. And then the big kids are like fifth and sixth graders. So each one of those has their own teenager, their own adult, and they're going around. They go to missions time, which is pastor's class, which is Sammy and Sally time, which has completely taken VBS over, let me just tell you. They love some Sammy and Sally. Joey was just telling them yesterday exactly where they ended last year. And she's like, I want to see if Pastor remembers where we ended, because she remembers where they ended last year, which is not uncommon. He's told me before that there were kids who he never finished the story who come back to him years and years later, telling him, I never got you, you never finished the story of what happened with Sammy and Sally. And they're like, you know, 22 or something. I don't know if that's real, but one of these days I'm not going to be so busy. I'm going to stick my head in and listen to a Sam. I hear him through the door. And there's lots of crazy voices coming out of that room, but I never hear the actual, like, story. But the kids love it. They go to craft time with Kara Winook, and that is always an awesome time. If you think the decorations in a church are good, go in the craft room, and they're usually, like, twice as good. And that's where Kara Winook is. She does great crafts with the kids, age-appropriate crafts. There's teaching time, which is all those things I tell them, hey, you need to remember this during... it's not really a sermon, but during the devotional or during the message that I give them at the beginning, they re-go over the main points, the points that we want them to remember, because then when we come back, I quiz them on it. And then they get points for their team by answering the questions correctly. And then they have the prize room that they get to go to, so they earn points throughout the week. And they get these little cards, or like little, little credit cards or whatever, and they get points that put on them. They can go in there, they can spend money as they earn money throughout the week. And they get snacks somewhere in there as well. And then they go to game time, which is essentially, let me wear you out so you're not so wiggly when we bring you back in time. And Adam Olson usually runs that. He gets them nice and tired for me, so that's outstanding. So we bring them back in, right? So then I say, hey, everybody's come back in here. So they come back in. The first thing we do is we do the skit, and they are always super excited about the skit. Then we do the quiz time, and usually one of the puppets helps me out with quiz time. Then we weigh the offering. So when they come in, they are going to bring an offering for a missionary. So our missionary this year is Eric Chapman. So I don't know if everyone reads Eric Chapman's letters. He's our missionary to Lithuania. But Eric Chapman has been having some health problems in the recent past here. I think if you go back to maybe March, I think, was the first one that I remember that he started sending. Maybe it was March. The first letter he was saying that he and his family were starting to get really sick, and it was because of mold in their house. So they have this, they call it the rural, I have a hard time with the word, R-U-R-A-L, rural project. So they have this barn that they're redoing, they're going to meet there, and since they've moved into this new place, they've had, their health, I'm not going to say they've had no problems, because this place, if you saw the pictures, if you come to VBS, I'm showing the kids the pictures. I got permission. This place is a dump in and of itself, but at least it's not making them sick. I mean, if you look, you can see sunlight through the walls. You can see that the floor is like this. That's what they're repairing right now. So in his prayer letters, I mean, he's not, and I appreciate that, he's not begging for money in the prayer letters, but he is saying that if we could pray for him, there are significant costs involved in doing this, but he's got to do it. So I text Pastor the other day. I said, hey, I think this would be a good missionary. He's like, let's do it. So we're going to be raising money for him. So all the money that comes in for the offering, every penny goes to them. So we don't go by amount brought isn't the winner. It's weight. So the kids come in. I think Ron Newbert's going to be my banker this year. So the kids come in, and he's a brave soul for that. So the kids come in, and they bring money, and they get competitive with this offering as the week goes on. So they'll give him a $5 bill, and he's got to give him $5 worth of rolls of pennies. And we put him into a red bucket and a blue bucket, because the red team, blue team. And we have this scale that one of the kids usually works for me. And it'll flip the other one over if one's too heavy, and the kids go crazy, and they love when they see it. One team is kind of bummed at first, and the other team isn't. But when the red team usually wins, and Nicole gets the blue team nice and fired up. So our teams this year are the Blue Belugas and the Red Rays. So always I am the captain of the red team because that's my favorite color, and always Nicole is captain of the blue team. And somehow the blue team seems to win, and ironically she's also in charge of registration and points. So I'm not saying there's any funny business going on here. But you can draw your own conclusions on that. In the 10 years I've been doing this, I think I've won twice. That's including a step trip. So that's like, you know, 18 VBSs and I've won two. So something wonky's going on here. I'm going to pay Tiffany Olson to keep an eye on something this year for me, make sure there's no funny business going on. But that's pretty much VBS in a nutshell for us. The kids are constantly in motion throughout the day. One thing that I don't like to see is kids sitting around or lots of time for them to get their mind on something else. We like to really focus them on what's important and what they're here for. So they have fun in the process. That's what all the decorations are for. That's what game time and things are for. But it's with a purpose. And the purpose is that if that kid does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they know that before they leave. If that kid is dealing with something, that they get that right before they leave. And so the first day or two, I usually don't give an invitation during the teaching time message because, you know, to be honest, if there's visitors, we haven't built that relationship with them yet. They're going to still be kind of shy to come forward. That's why it's so important to spend some time and build relationships with them, so that by day three, day four, they feel more comfortable to come back, to talk to a teenager, to talk to one of the adults. You know, eventually if they need to, they can come talk to myself or my wife. We're usually like the last line of people. Like if a kid gets saved, then the teenager goes through with them, then they bring them to me afterward so I can kind of go over with them, make sure that everything's looking good. But that's the overall goal. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to see souls saved and individuals, you know, going down the right path or redirecting them back on the path that they need to be on. And that's what VBS is all about. I mean, you have fun. It's my favorite thing that we do on the schedule. This is my favorite thing. It always has been. It will be until the end of time. VBS is the most fun thing, for me that we do. But it's got to be, if we don't have the purpose correct, that it's all for nothing, then we might as well not even do it. Then we're wasting time, we're wasting money, and we're sure wasting God's time, that's for sure. So that kind of goes right into my message. So if you guys have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to Revelation 21. So I gave you that entire thing to show you. There's a lot of moving parts with the Vacation Bible School. It's not, hey, let's come and feed these kids some cookies and send them home. I've seen some other VBSs. I've talked to some other people. Our VBS is a little unique. We have some unique quirks. There's things that I can tell. Obviously we do a lot of things like Pastor Wright did them back in the day, but I've tweaked it a lot, to be honest, since I've taken over. Every year I've probably added something new. One of the new things this year, for example, is if you see all these prizes over here, the raft isn't blowing up yet. Carrie Winook's going to blow that up for me, not by her mouth. But with a pump. One time we went to a step trip, forgot the pump, and the kids did have to blow one of these rafts up with their mouth. And that is outstanding. They were tired afterward, which was great for us. But, you know, we have the raft and the basketball and the squirt gun and the skateboard and the slip and slide. So they get that individually by earning points throughout the week by bringing their Bible and saying verses and bringing visitors and things like that. So in the past, it was always just the top five point getters total. One, two, three, four. Yeah, five. It was just the top five point getters total. So usually, what does that end up happening? That's five big kids, right? And the little kids try and they try and they try and they try. And last year, and I'm telling you, my wife, at first I was like, no, I don't like that, right? And she has been, I kid you not, my wife has been, I don't want to say badgering, she has been forcefully asking me for about a year now, to do this, and finally I was like, you know what? Yeah, I get it. I think that'll be fine. Because last year, the tinies, we had the tiny kids, they tried so hard. They said so many verses, but they just can't say as many as big kids. I mean, they just can't. They don't have the mental capacity to say that many verses. But for them, they said probably like, I mean, if you're talking about like, pound for pound, they blew the big kids out of the water, right? So with that, we thought that it was unfair. So what we're going to do this year is, the very first prize that somebody gets to pick is going to be the overall winner, the person who gets the most points no matter what their age is. So the next four prizes are going to go to the four winners from each age group, or the one top point getter from each age group. So let's say a big kid wins the overall prize, so he gets to come up here and pick whichever one he wants. So after that, I'm going to let the tinies come up next, right? The top tiny is going to come up and get to pick the second prize. And then the top little is going to come up and pick the next one, the top middle, and then essentially the second place big is going to come up and pick the prize. So in that, I think what's going to happen is they're going to be a lot more motivated to say a lot more things at the end, because I feel as though as they get to be a little or a middle, it's like, I'm not going to win anyway, what's the matter? But now they have a chance. So it took my wife a year, but she got me to realize that that was the best way. So I'm glad I thought of that. that's not true. So Revelation 21. So we're going to read verses 7 and 8. This isn't necessarily a happy message. It's a necessary message tonight, because tomorrow's Vacation Bible School, and there are going to be young souls and maybe even some older ones that don't know Christ. And they're going to be in our church, in these pews. They're going to be in here. Definitely by Thursday, I'm sure there's going to be unsaved individuals in here. And as always, I know that we're going to have many hands from our congregation hard at work during the week. And as always, I know that those who can't be here working are going to be at home faithfully praying. But I guess my question that I want you to keep in your mind as we go through, and then at the end we'll answer it: what are we working for? Why are you praying? What are you praying for? So I want you to keep that question in mind as we continue tonight. Revelation chapter 21, looking at verse 7, it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What a wonderful promise that is. That is outstanding. What a wonderful promise that is. But I want you to listen to verse 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So the world loves to sneer, and probably some guys take it over the top, I know, but the world loves to sneer and call preachers who preach on hell, they like to call them what? Like hellfire and brimstone preachers, those, you know, spitting hellfire from the pulpit, whatever you want to say. And many times when it's said by someone from the world, that's said with a sneer, with sarcasm. And the preacher who preached on hell, he's accused of being unleavened many times. Although today, even preaching about sin many times gets the same reaction. So the cruelest thing a man could do would be to fail to warn people about what the Bible has to say about hell. And over the next week, I'm going to teach these young people who walk through our doors about hell. Now, I'm going to teach them about salvation, absolutely. And there's other themes that go throughout the day that we teach them the theme, and it comes back around to salvation every day, obviously. I think one day is lying, and one day is trying not to follow the crowd. Don't worry about being popular. Worry about following God. The other day is about being like selfish and greedy, and all those are based upon our verse for the entire Vacation Bible School, which is John 3:30. "He must increase, but I must decrease," which you guys can remember was what Dr. Savinsky talked about when he was here as well. But I'm going to tell you, the idea of hell is ridiculed today, and I know why it's ridiculed today. It's because people don't like the idea, and so they try and laugh it away. If you make something a joke, if you belittle something, then to you it feels like it's not that important. And that's what the world has done with many of the sins that they just find commonplace today. They just laugh us away like we're a bunch of old curmudgeon-y fools, and look how awesome we are, and look at how stupid those guys are. And they just laugh at us now. And you and I know that you can laugh. You can laugh about a lot of things. You can also laugh your way into hell, but you can't laugh yourself out once you get there. And any unsaved kids who walk through that door need to know where they are going, but also where they can go. And they need to know that if they don't already know it. Proverbs 28:5 says, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." They don't like the idea of judgment. The world doesn't like the idea of judgment. They don't like the idea of hell, and it's shared. The unbeliever can do several things. Number one, they can reject it, and that's their privilege. I've had kids on step trips when we've done Vacation Bible School or even here who have come forward and said, hey, I need to get saved. And for one reason or another, I remember our very first step trip. I talk to the teenagers about this all the time. Our very first step trip, Pastor Wright kind of took us and we were there for like a day, and then he and Myra came back. So Nicole and I were kind of winging it. And so the very last day we're preaching on salvation, and one of these kids came forward, and Kaylee Arp actually had this kid. And I could hear them in the room in the back. They were back there for a long time. So I went back, and it was this weird setup in this church, and there was a room and then a door and then another room, and Kaylee had him in this room. And again, that was back before I would have probably emphasized girls with girls and guys with guys, but I was learning back then, so forgive me when I tell this story. But anyway, so she's back there, and I'm listening through the door. She's talking to this kid, and this kid is saying that his mom's going to be mad at him if he gets saved because he was raised Catholic, and he was crying because he wanted to, but he was worried that his mom was going to get mad. And I could hear her say, do you want me to go get Alan? And because it wasn't Pastor Alan then, do you want me to go get Alan? And he said, no. He's like, do you want me to go get Miss Nicole? And he said, yes. So I heard my wife in there talking to him too. And as far as I know, that kid never got saved. The whole time, I never saw the kid. Now, we passed that along to the pastor. That was the last day we were there. As far as I know, the kid never got saved. So they can reject it. I mean, that's the choice that people make. Number two, they can ignore it. They can just ignore it. Or number three, they can accept it and they can do something with it. And that's what we're looking for. Now, I'm going to preach a very simple message tonight because I don't want to be misunderstood. There's not going to be a lot of rhetoric in it. There's nothing cute, nothing funny. I want you to listen to what God's Word has to say about this subject of hell, and hopefully it can remind us what it is we're trying to save people from. So number one, I want to tell you that hell is going to be a place of vile associations. Hell is going to be a place of vile associations. Revelation chapter 21, look again in verse 8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Have you ever heard anybody say, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company? Or something idiotic like that, right? It's always something stupid like that. Mark Twain is reported to have said, I'll take heaven for climate and hell for company. Well, look, I mean, I've read some of Mark Twain's books, but that's an idiotic thing to say. He was a smart aleck, and if he's there today in hell, that's the company that he asked for, so that's the company he's got. The devil himself will be part of that company in hell. Jesus told us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, Satan is not in hell now. So many times we speak of the devil being in hell. The devil's not in hell. He's the prince of the power in the air. He's called the god of this age, or the god of this world, small g. He's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is not yet in hell, but he will be cast there. He will be cast there. And when he goes to hell, he's not some comical character wearing a red suit, carrying around a pitchfork, just poking people a little bit every now and then. The devil loves to get that kind of idea out there because that's what makes people laugh at the idea. When the devil goes to hell, he's going to be cast into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. He's going to suffer there like everybody else in hell. He's going to suffer there. He's not going to be the Lord of the hell. He's going to be incarcerated in this place called hell. When he's sent there, it'll be a one-way ticket for him and all of his demons. But not only will Satan be there, ungodly people will be there. There was a whole list in verse 8 that we just read. A whole lot of people it doesn't sound like I really want to hang around with. Perhaps when I read Revelation 21:8 and you look and you saw people like murderers, fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars, you say, well, I'm good enough. I don't really have to worry about going to hell. I'm not going to be in that category. Did you read those that lead the list? The fearful and the unbelieving, it says. But the fearful and the unbelieving. And then it goes into the people that we like to hang our hat on. Do you know what the greatest sin is? I know I've preached a sermon on it before. The greatest sin is the sin that heads the list, the fearful and the unbelieving. Those who have refused to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. You can't take that back once you're there. And there are so many lost souls that are fearful and unbelieving. That young boy on my very first step trip was fearful and unbelieving. Now, was it of his own fault? Not necessarily. I mean, he was raised that way. He was born into that family, and that family had those beliefs and made him so confused when he heard the truth. But God still holds him accountable. He knew when he was sitting there. He understood, and he rejected. So as cute as he may have been, and as bad as I felt, I'm telling you, that boy has stuck with me. That was 2005. That boy has stuck with me ever since then. I've never forgotten about him. His name was Colton. I'm sure, pastor has things like that. Stuff like that burns in my head because I see them and I think, could I have done more? Or could I have, I was still new. If I could redo it over again with what I know now, right? Would I be able to talk to him differently or whatever? Like, you think those things and, unfairly so. You torture yourself and things like that. And I know that everyone probably does it, whether it's with a sibling or whatever. I know that you have those things. But don't leave it out there, right? Like, leave everything that you have out there. And that's, I guess, the point of Vacation Bible School. That's why we go through so much trouble. That's why I'll be here until the late hours of the night. And that's fine with me. And that's why we're, up until late hours for other things that we do, whether it's step trip or the volleython or whatever. That's why Pastor is here. I know he was here late last night because Nicole left late and she was telling me she was talking with the pastor when he was here. That's why you guys will be here on your time off of work, or you're supposed to be kicking back in retirement, but instead you're here hurting a bunch of kids around like cats, shoving cookies in their face and stuff. You're going to be here doing that when you don't have to be. You don't get any paid for that. Nobody's forcing you to do that. You're doing that because you love God and you don't want what's happened to maybe someone else who is that Colton in your mind to happen to someone else. Because it sticks with you. As it should. God allows that to happen. For you to think about that over time. Now, how you think about that is different. God doesn't want you to sit there and beat yourself up your whole life and feel guilty your whole life and be depressed and whatever. He's not making drama queens here. What he's doing is he's trying to get you to see maybe you could have done more. Maybe you should have done more. Maybe you can do more. But that's the greatest thing. And some of them are going to be right here this week. There's going to be individuals ripe for the picking in these pews this week. Coming in. Just asking us to tell them about God. Now, are they going to have fun? And are we luring them in with balloons and fish and all kind and candy and all kind? Yes. But once they're here, they got to listen to what I'm saying. Right? Pastor tells us Sammy and Sally's story. I guarantee, I've never heard one, but I guarantee you there's Bible stuff in there. Right? There is. It's in there. They need to be told the truth about God and what He did for them, about His love and His sacrifice. There's going to be many who are going to come this week who've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, who've never received Him as their Lord and Savior. You think that hell is for the drunkard, hell is for the thief, hell is for the murderer, but it's not for them. Because they're self-righteous, whether they're 3 or 30. They're self-righteous and prideful, and they're sinners. And there's one day that they're going to end up in this place called hell. And hell is a place of vile company, vile associations. Number 2. I tell you what else hell is. Not only is it company with those who are ungodly, but it is separation from those who are godly. Now obviously that seems like, well yeah, if it's one, it's the other. But again, people don't think that. People don't think that. Revelation 21, verse 27. Now here the Lord is speaking of the place of heaven. You don't have to turn there if you can't really quickly. But here the Lord is speaking of a place called heaven. It's a beautiful place, and God describes heaven this way. He says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." It's not like we're like the bad cousins who are down in hell who get to come visit every once in a while. Right? The Lamb here is Jesus. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, your name is written in the Lamb in Jesus' book of life. Now you're not going to heaven if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life. That's something that needs to be very clearly told to these young kids. Now, again, I'm not trying to scare these young kids and they're not like leaving here crying. I promise you, I'm not that scary to them. But they need to be told the truth. Still, they have to be told the truth. I can only sugarcoat it so much for them. Because they will go to hell. They will be separated from the saints. The saints will be there, but they won't. Luke chapter 13, verse 28 says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." When you see your mother in heaven and you're in hell, you see your children in heaven, but you're in hell, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, there's going to be a lot of that. And they need to understand that. All right? So then there's a third thing. Number three, hell is a place of eternal darkness. Now, heaven tells us, or the Bible tells us in many places that heaven is a place of light, but hell is a place of darkness. And I've heard lots of ways to describe it, and none of it sounds good. Jude verse 13 calls it the blackness of darkness forever. Enough said. You had me at forever darkness. That sounds awful to me. There's times when I'm here in the church alone and I'm walking from the back to the front, and I'm going to tell you, I am a huge guy and I am freaked out sometimes. Sometimes I see my reflection, like as you walk and you see your reflection in the door and it's dark already because I've turned the lights off. I'm like, okay, if I turn the lights off, I can make it to the door. I know I've walked it 1,000 times. And you see your reflection because it's lighter outside and it freaks me out. And I'm like, all right, I need to hurry up and get out of here and get to my car. There have been times I don't run very much anymore, but I will be speed walking out this church, tapping the coat as I walk out the door trying to get out of here because I feel like the boogeyman is behind me. So just thinking about the place of eternal darkness and forever darkness is crazy. So it's not only a place of eternal darkness, it's also a place of eternal dying. Now, again, not pleasant. You die for eternity. This is what the Bible calls the second death, Revelation 20:14. "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death." So there are these two deaths that you may die. One is physical and the other is spiritual and eternal. The second death is eternally being separated from God. You're never going to be able to reconcile that. If my body were to die the first death and you were to come up here and examine me and say I fell down right here and now and no more body motions and my heart is stopped, and the doctors take my vital signs, they might say, well, it must have been his preaching. He killed him. It just killed him. But he's done. He's gone. He's dead. I wouldn't actually be dead. I'd be kicking up gold dust in the streets of glory, right? That's where I would be. I'd just simply be moving out of where I am right now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that's for me, right? That's for me. That's for an individual who is saved. And death is not annihilation. It's separation. It's the instance, in this instance, it would be the separation of my soul from my body. The second death is a separation from your soul from God for all eternity. That's the second death. That's what Jesus suffered on the cross. Number four, I want to say also that hell is a place of hopelessness. Some have the idea that you could spend maybe a few thousand years in hell and then go out, and if that were the truth, then there would be some hope. And by the way, these people will usually come to your door and try and peddle you some literature. And they'll tell you that there is no place called hell that is an everlasting place. They'll tell you that when you die like a horse or a cow or a dog or something. But what does God's Word say? Revelation 14 says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they that have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So did you catch that? The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. and they have no rest day or night. Wherever it is, I suppose that the word hopeless would be the most apropos, saddest word here. If you go to the doctor, for example, and he tells you it's hopeless. Or you go to the banker and he says it's hopeless. Or you go to you go to your attorney and he says it's hopeless. But you think how sad it would be to be in hell and to have the knowledge that it will never, ever be a way for you to get out of hell. It is hopeless to be there. Proverbs 11:7, when a wicked man dieth, his expectations shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. When the unsaved die, hope dies with them. But the challenge to them first, but also to us as believers, is that they can be saved now if they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Again, that's why we do the things that we do. That's why we do Vacation Bible School and a missions trip, and that's why we do other things here like the cantata and things at Christmas time. And that's why what pastor's asking you to invite people into missions conferences and evangelistic meetings. Because those individuals that you know that they're going to hell right now, the thing is they have the chance now. Their chance is now. It's right now. It's now. There is a way, but if they want Christ, they can have it. It's there for them. They can have it. There's no repentance after death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So one last thing, number five, one last thing. Hell is a place of burning. Now I saved this one for last, not because I relish in saying the burning, but because so many times when people want to ridicule the idea of hell, they ridicule the idea of this burning, of this hell fire. So I've heard the question asked. People have asked me before, is there fire in hell? So I just want you to listen to a couple of verses really quickly, and this is not, don't listen to Alan Harrell, listen to Jesus Christ here when he's talking. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now look, I have never tried to make myself seem like a Bible scholar. But when it says everlasting fire and the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, I don't think that there's much Greek interpretation here that I need. This is fire, right? This is something that is not good. Now, as a believer, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I don't. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Not because I think I'm some hero, but because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God has placed a blockade on the road to hell, and the blockade that God has placed on the road to hell is the cross of Jesus Christ. And if an individual goes to hell, they have to climb over the cross to get there. God is lifting up the bloodstained cross of Lord Jesus Christ and saying, please, please don't go to hell. Here's something very easy and very free. Just take it. And He's asking us, as individuals who are believers, please just share it with somebody. Just let them know. I tell you what, I see more things on Facebook or social media about a sale at Aldi or the price of milk at Walmart or you know how great their car sale was and people should go to this car dealer than I do about what their Savior has done for them. Guilty. Guilty. Me too. Guilty. So at the beginning, we asked the question. And I told you to remember it. What are we working for? What are we praying for? We're praying for them. For the people who are lost. This week specifically, who above and beyond who you normally pray for, we're praying for the kids who are going to be sitting in these first four rows here. All throughout the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're praying for them. And I went through the itinerary so that you can maybe think about as you're praying, pray for something more specific. Let the kids have a great time while they're eating snack, and let the kids, you know, study hard when they're in teaching time, or let the kids learn their verses, or, you know, let pastor not lose his voice for Sam and Sally because I don't want everyone revolting, and let the teenagers remember their lines, you know, things like that. Like, it's more specific and it's more personable for you as the church family who may not be able to be here if you know what's going on. Because they need it. The kids who are here need it. This isn't babysitting. This isn't a daycare. This is a vacation Bible school. And many times I think what happens is, even in our circles, unfortunately, it's just some sort of vacation. And the emphasis is there, not on the Bible. And that's unfortunate. We're working so that they have unsaved friends. Maybe the people from our church, they have unsaved friends and they've invited, they can play a game and eat a snack and watch some puppets, listen to pastor tell Sammy and Sally, and listen to someone up here doing the skit and all the window dressing on our main goal, which is to save them from this place that I've talked about tonight called hell that is horrible. I mean, why else does God give us these descriptions? Because it's horrible. And He wants us to be able to tell people that this is horrible. We should not want someone to go there. There are kids on their way there right now and they don't even know it. There's going to be kids who come here this week who are going to be sitting in these pews who are on their way to hell, who are one breath away from going to the place I've described. And I challenge you to come here and stand where I'll be standing, where you can see every kid, and look at the faces in these crowds and say, well, oh yeah, that kid right there, he deserves to go there. Of course you wouldn't say that. Of course. You wouldn't say that. So, VBS worker, let's get to work. So, prayer warrior, let's get to work. The devil's going to put roadblocks in our way. Undoubtedly, he does every year for everything that we do. But that's okay. That's expected. If you're doing things for the Lord, you expect these roadblocks to be in your way. That's okay. I expect those things to come and you roll with them as they go. And sometime this week they're going to come, whether it's fatigue, whether it's weather, whether it's bad attitudes from whoever, that's going to happen. But if we keep focused on Him and not ourselves, then we'll be just fine. And that goes right along with our theme verse, John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's what we have to remember all week long. So please be praying for us this week as we go through Vacation Bible School. Be praying for the workers. And we thank you guys so much for all the support that you guys give to the youth group and the things that we do here. Although VBS is more than just a youth group activity, it still is in many ways considered a youth group thing. And the adults have been outstanding since you guys have been helping. But thank you for who will be helping. Thank you for who will be praying. And let's remember why we're doing it. Because there's going to be people here this week who are on their way to hell. They don't even know it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this time that we've had to look into Your Word. And Lord, we ask that as we go throughout this week of Vacation Bible School, Lord, that You can be with the hands that are going to be working this week. And Lord, we ask that if there is just one child, or adult, or teenager, who is here this week and they don't know You as Jesus, they don't know Jesus Christ as Your personal, as their personal Savior, Lord, we ask that they get that right immediately. Lord, we're here working for You. You know who You're going to bring in. You know the dynamic of the kids, whether it's going to be a bunch of kids who are already saved and maybe we're just working with them on assurance of salvation, or you know, lying or listening to bad music, or you know, one of those things, which are important in and of themselves. But Lord, You've asked us specifically as saved individuals to see souls saved. That's the purpose of this church. That's the purpose of this age, is to see souls saved. Lord, we would rejoice if there is any that You would bring to us this week, that we could share this knowledge of Jesus Christ with them, and we could see them accept You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank You so much. We ask that You can be with everyone who will be working this week. Lord, we thank You so much. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.